Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 376, recorded on October 12th, 2019. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile, mintmobile.com/Tios, and SimpliSafe at simplisafe.com/Tios. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from Smile. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing awesome. And, every time we do the show, it's a surprise because it's canceled. But second, it's great because I get to hang out with you and Adam.
Yeah. Adam Christensen from the MacCast is here. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good. Up and slow, away from fire, and I have power. So best of both worlds, right?
Power's good.
Power and no fire. Although fire is
a dodge.
Fire is good for warmth, but you know, not too much. Not too much.
Controlled
warmth.
Fire is good.
Yes. So let's just jump right into it. Apple has released betas of all the operating systems. That's kind of par for the course at this point. But we've gotten some interesting information kind of leaking out of these various betas, a little bit of new features and some, new products potentially. So Apple released the first beta of iOS 13.2 and iPadOS 13.2 to developers and public beta users. And of course, as promised by Apple, this beta includes the Deep Fusion feature for the iPhone 11 line. And for those who forgot, in the myriad of things that Apple announced, the Deep Fusion feature is, help me with this one, but I believe it is, they leverage AI and multiple photos taken in order to produce an enhanced photograph where you kind of get the highlights and lowlights, the different features at various exposure levels from multiple photos, and they kind of merge all that together to give you like an ultra sharp, well exposed overall photo. Is that the idea?
It's their new HDR.
Right. Yeah. So it's new HDR.
If you want to distill it down to like the most basic thing you can say about it, it's the update to HDR.
Yeah. Which is
Adam,
good.
I'm glad you said it because I was going to, and I know that there's a bunch of high end camera people out there that immediately were like, "No, it's not really HDR," and that's a direct quote.
Well, HDR is so like 2008. So
yeah. So whatever anguish they're having over the description will now be directed at you.
Oh, good.
But it could have just as easily been directed at me.
Yeah.
It's the thing that for mere mortals to let your pictures look better.
Yeah. I mean, well, mere mortals and people who don't have time to go over every photo and, do fancy editing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which is great. So
yes, we're oversimplifying, but the reason we're oversimplifying is because it's so dang complex that most people don't care.
Right. You press the button, your photos look better. Yes. And that's really, that's incredible. That's great. Have you guys played with it or are you sticking with the GM?
I'm not on the betas.
Yeah.
I didn't even get an 11 yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but that's a different discussion. So it's in there. And so that's great. Let's see here. They've also added some new features in the betas, which you guys may or may not be interested in. You get announce messages with Siri. So again, this is a feature that I did some research on, and I'm trying to understand exactly the difference between this and what you have without it. Because I believe announce messages with Siri will work with Is it just the second generation AirPods and then so anything with an H1 chip, or will it work with all headphones?
I don't know.
Okay. So I'm going to say that I think it requires the H1.
Probably for power reasons.
But announce messages with Siri, the idea is it will not interrupt you while you're, I guess, listening to music. I think they show it off in tandem with someone working out, which, you know, it's a great feature in that way. So if you turn it on, it's an opt-in feature. I think the biggest advantage is that you don't have to authenticate on your phone to have Siri read a message to you. And I think that's why the H1 has to come in, because there has to be some.
Does it not happen automatically?
You have to opt into it. And then once you've opted in, when you get an incoming message, Siri will just say, I've got a message from so-and-so for you. And then it will just read it.
But that's not a feature now, right?
That is a feature in 13.2.
Right.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting at. It's like, that's the whole, you just distilled the whole feature. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. So basically you don't need the authentication, which is really cool.
What authentication are you talking about?
So if you get a message and you ask Siri, please read this for me, she'll say you need to unlock your iPhone first for security. Oh. I would imagine that
I forgot about that.
For so those people who don't have, so you can set up your notifications to display a preview without being unlocked. I would imagine this doesn't apply to those people, or it doesn't matter. But I think that there's also, you know, so I've got the new Beats, the Power Beats, headphones with the H1. And I have to say that the H1 chip definitely it improves the Siri experience. I think there is an onboard Siri thing, and I'm surprised none of my devices have triggered yet. That it sounds better, it responds better, it's more smooth, and I think that this is part of that. So there's that. There's also HomePod handoff. I don't have a HomePod, but I'm pretty sure this is new, and the idea is, when maybe you're listening to music or a podcast or something, you can go to your HomePod and you tap your HomePod with your phone and it will hand off whatever you're listening to the HomePod.
Right.
Now, is that a new feature?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you could do that with phone calls, right? Before you can do that with phone calls, or maybe this is new overall.
You can send a phone call to the HomePod, but I think you still have to tap the interface on them.
So it's now like an NFC tag like experience where you just donk it and then.
Yeah, I think the idea is you're in your car, you're listening to a podcast, or you're out for a walk, you're listening to some music. You come home, you walk over by your HomePod, boink, your HomePod's now playing without skipping a beat.
Yeah,
what you were listening to on your headphones.
And we've been looking for that for a while, so that's great. And then there's an automatically AirPlay to TVs feature where I believe the context in which this makes sense is where, so you get the TV notifications. I think everybody gets them. At least I get them often, you know, saying, hey, you know, there's a no hitter in the seventh inning of this baseball game, or, you know, there's this new movie that we're suggesting to you, what have you, that sort of thing.
I have those turned off, but yes.
Yeah. So anything, TV wise, you can, if you're interested in watching the thing, you just tap the notification. If you have the setting on, it will automatically turn on your TV and start playing on the Apple TV. Now, I don't know, other contexts where this actually applies. It's kind of ambiguous, and it's one of those things that we're kind of going off of the text in the preference panel, because not a lot of people have tested this yet. But it seems pretty nice. And
it, Yeah, it should work as long as you have that. I forget what it's called. You have to have a TV that, like, my TV is too old and doesn't support that HDMI power thing.
Is that HDCP or something? Or
no, no, that's the copy protection.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it's called. It's like it allows HDMI devices to basically control some of the features of your TV, including like the power.
Right.
So it would allow the Apple TV to actually power on the TV. So the phone can send a signal to the Apple TV. The Apple TV can turn on the TV and start playing your show. And I forget what it's called. It's like some HDMI control specification.
CEC?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Whatever that stands for. Yeah, so there's that. And then, so we also have some new icons in the control center. So I think the most prominent is that if you're using H1 or Apple headphones, I should say, it'll, instead of showing the little speaker glyph, it'll show icons of the AirPods or the Beats headphones or what have you that you're using. So that's fun. But most interestingly, icon-wise, 13.2 beta includes an icon which depicts a new AirPods design. So this is what we believe is an icon representing the third generation AirPods. And so these have been rumored to have active noise cancellation. And the design shows something that represents a rubber in-ear ear tip design.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited about. I think it's
not.
Yeah, so it's a very divisive sort of thing.
Yeah.
And to me, I would assume these are going to be an optional or a different type of AirPod, maybe. So you can get the ones with noise cancellation that are in-ear, or you can just get the standard bud.
Do we think maybe the tips are somehow designed to be optional? Like you can attach them or not attach them?
I'm betting they're just an always-on thing.
That's what it looks like. But I mean, yeah. that could be an acceptable like alternative. You can either have them or not have them. I would imagine, too, like the noise cancellation experience is better if you have that seal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without those tips, if you're going for noise cancellation, you're not actually getting noise cancellation because you don't have enough isolation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of hoping that there's going to be the two options. I want the in-ear because the current AirPods aren't secure enough for me to go exercise in. But I would imagine the way, just given Apple's history and how they do these things, I would guess that they're just going to shift down the second generation AirPods that they're selling right now,
right,
and then sell these as the premier AirPods. Now, yep. Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
No, I just said, yep, I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, so after we saw this, there was a leak from a website called 52 Audio. Earlier that week that was kind of dismissed just because they didn't have a big track record. And given this glyph, it kind of lends a lot of support to this leak where it shows, you know, more or less in-ear AirPods with a shorter, kind of a more stout-looking case and then the in-ear AirPods. And I mean, you know, it looks pretty legit to me. I'm glad to see the still rather small form factor. That's my biggest complaint about the Powerbeats is, you know, you've got the, you know, approximately the size of a case of floss versus, you know, like a watch case. The two are, you know, When we're talking about pocketability, there's a huge difference between these two things. And that's one of my biggest complaints about the Powerbeats is they're not super portable like the AirPods are. You can almost put the AirPods case in your little iPod shuffle pocket in your jeans. So
the watch pocket on your jeans.
Yeah. Remember, just old school. Remember when Steve Jobs, was it the Shuffle? I think it was, or maybe it was the Nano. Might've been the Nano. He's like, you ever wonder what this pocket's for? Well, let me show you. And then he pulls out the,
Yeah, I use that pocket for my AirPods.
Yeah. It's the AirPods pocket. So that, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that. I would imagine, I'm kind of thinking we will see something about those this month.
Yeah.
So.
I'm betting so.
It's weird we haven't heard about anything yet this month.
Yeah. So we don't, I don't have anything on my list of topics to talk about with regard to another announcement. But we're still waiting on a next gen iPad Pro.
Right.
We're also in the Mac land. We're waiting on this rumored 16 inch MacBook Pro. And, what else are we waiting on?
These AirPods.
The AirPods. Yeah.
AirPods.
Yeah. So I think that I'm guessing it's going to be very late, like the last couple days in October.
Yeah. I'm thinking same thing, but I mean, that would mean any invites would probably go out what next week. They usually give reporters about a week or two.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the 31st is a Thursday.
Right. So they could send out an invite, like by the 17th. And then that gives you 2 weeks to the, to Thursday. Well, that would be a Halloween announcement.
I think they want to.
Thursday would be a weird day.
Don't they want to do their quarterly call also?
Oh yeah, this okay. What day's the quarterly call? I forgot.
Are they normally Tuesdays or Wednesdays?
Yeah, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
I think they have in the past done a. I want to say they've done a Wednesday. Just following a Tuesday announcement, but I believe they want to do the quarterly call. They'll probably historically they do the call after. So I'm guessing either Monday the 28th or Tuesday the 29th is when the event is going to be. So,
yeah.
Let's see what else. Oh, so there's other tasty bits in 13.2. Apple added an option to delete Siri history as well as opt out of sharing audio recordings in iOS 13.2. So you can, to be clear, it is an opt out thing for sharing audio recordings. And this is likely in response to, the story from earlier this year regarding the contract workers who listened to the short recordings to improve accuracy of Siri. So now this will be, and I believe Apple promised this feature when that happened. So that's in response to that. But you can also, whenever you want, ad hoc delete Siri dictation history. And I believe that's from your device. Is that right? Not from their servers? I'm not, and by that I mean, it said delete Siri and dictation interactions currently associated with this iPhone from Apple servers. Okay, that is from Apple servers. Data that has been sampled to help improve Siri and dictation is no longer associated with this iPhone will not be deleted.
So where is...
Sorry, Jeff, you broke up.
Is that... Because Apple doesn't want me asking questions. Where is that setting?
It's not there yet. It's in the beta, I believe. Beta 2. Well,
oh, in beta 2. And we're on beta 1 right
no,
now.
No, iOS 13.2 beta.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, so you have to go settings, general, privacy, or maybe wherever private. You have to go to privacy, analytics and improvements, and then Siri and search, I believe. The parent one is Siri and search.
Interesting.
It'll probably just be in analytics because that.
Uh, Okay, you guys are right.
13.2 beta, not iPad OS 13.2 beta.
Possibly.
Which is where I'm looking. Yeah, it's not there on the iPad.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Oh.
And if you guys keep breaking, and I think it's on my end, but if you guys keep breaking up, I think I might just switch to my iPhone internet. We're on not great internet today.
Crazy technology.
I know. And actually, we're coming up on a sponsor break, so we'll probably just switch then. What else do we have here? Oh, we also have, they've changed the text on, so now that we've switched over to haptic touch, of course, we have the pop-up on home screen apps that says rearrange apps. So if you want to get into wiggle mode on the home screen, it's called rearrange apps.
Or you can also just hold for longer.
Right.
FYI.
Yeah. And now they've changed the text to edit home screen. And I think that makes more sense just intuitively. And then they've also added an additional haptic touch option to delete that specific app, which I think is great. I think that's going to be really useful. So you don't have to go into wiggle mode and then hit the X thing. So I think that's a nice little feature. They've added some new emoji, as they always do, apparently. So they just have a whole emoji department at Apple just churning this crap out at this point. But I think one of the more interesting options is now there's an interface for selecting multiple skin tones in emoji where you have multiple people. So where you have like an emoji of two friends, like high fiving, you can have the skin tone of one and then skin tone of the other, which I think is very extra, but pretty fun. I guess it's one of those things where you have to have an iPhone on the latest version to even, you know, see it, but that's just
probably,
that's just how it is.
It's an inclusion thing, right? I mean,
yeah, that's fun. Why not?
You can mix and match. And yeah. So you can match your friend that you're high-fiving.
But I guess the only thing is, it's like, you're probably only going to set this up once and I doubt you're going to change it. So it's probably going to be like you and your best friend or something like that, or whoever you emoji with the most. But maybe the interface is, you know, quick enough to, maybe with haptic touch now, it's fast enough that I guess you only need to change one person's skin tone, probably.
How far are we from just using the TrueDepth camera system to like analyze your skin tone and like match it?
I don't think you even need the TrueDepth thing. You just need the regular myopic camera or whatever, monopic.
That seems like a natural progression.
It's totally going to happen. I mean, we already have the thing where it auto generates the emoji, right? So,
yep.
We do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It'll auto generate me in a emoji.
Yes.
I haven't played with that feature. Is that an iOS 13 feature?
Yeah.
I already had one set up, so.
I might be pulling this out of my butt, but I like that Jeff is agreeing with me.
No, I'm using the auto-generated Memoji stuff. There we go. I just sent you a Jeff thumbs up.
Oh, you mean just the auto-generated styles from the Memoji you created?
Yeah, I guess the question is,
talking about the stickers that it, like, if you have created a Memoji, it creates a bunch of emoticons for you that are.
Yeah, I'm kind of rolling back on this. I don't think it'll actually realize that you have like a goatee. And
I thought you were saying like they had a new mode where I could fire up, hey, make me a Memoji, and do it automatically. Just look at my face and.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, there's no way Apple would include a thing where it tries to guess what your skin tone is, because they're gonna be screwed.
Yeah, people will get angry.
Someone's gonna get offended.
Yes, but still, being able to have made a Memoji and then you automatically get this this whole
thing. I thought we were saying Apple had added some feature to auto-generate the Memoji just by using the camera to analyze your face.
Yeah, totally. It does a full like DNA profile, and it's great.
Isn't that the creepy thing that Samsung was trying to do for a little while?
Did they try to do that?
Really, really creepy.
Yeah, they did. I think so. I don't know if it was again, I don't think it was like a skin tone kind of thing, but anyway, one last thing before we switch over to better internet and go to the sponsor. iOS 13.2 beta 2. This one's important for Jeff. It was bricking some iPad Pro models.
So did not brick mine.
Some iPads were not making it through the update process of the beta 2, and they couldn't be restored using even DFU mode.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Right.
That's bad.
I mean, that's what bricking means, right? It's like it's a brick. So that was happening to some people. Apple has since pulled that. There's a new one available that I guess doesn't include the bricking feature. And
that's Apple always pulling features out.
I know. That's going to come in iOS 13.5. But this is why you should be careful with betas. And really, you know, don't put it on mission critical stuff. And if you don't need it, you know, maybe you shouldn't. You should just wait. Learn patience.
I think having patience is a really good thing.
Patience is.
I thought you were going to say is a virtue.
It's always a good thing to practice.
Oh, yeah. And I think there's a lot of people, and I blame Google for a lot of this, that have forgotten that beta does not mean early access to a fully functioning public release. It means a buggy, feature limited operating system or app. Things will be broken and things will go wrong.
Right. Yep. Okay. So with that, we're going to talk about our sponsors and be right back. Our first sponsor this week is SimpliSafe. On average, a burglary happens once every 23 seconds in the U.S., according to the FBI. And what's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes actually have home security. Maybe that's because most companies really don't make it that easy. Who wants to deal with the hassle of having one of those systems installed anyway? That's why SimpliSafe is my top choice. SimpliSafe protects every door, window, and room with 24/7 professional monitoring. There's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. It's won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter, and it can be even used with Apple HomeKit thanks to Homebridge. But one thing that truly makes SimpliSafe stand out is their video verification technology. When other home security systems are triggered, a lot of the time police assume it's a false alarm, and the call goes to the bottom of the list, but not with SimpliSafe. Using their video verification technology, they're able to visually confirm that the break-in is happening, allowing police to get to the scene in 3.5 times faster than other home security companies. And for my listeners, SimpliSafe has a huge deal going on right now. Go to simplisafe.com/tios and get free shipping and a money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/TIOSS, simplisafe.com/tios. Our next sponsor this week is Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers in 2019, have you asked yourself what you're actually paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes those savings directly to you. And after talking to these guys, I really appreciate what they're doing, especially for iPhone users. They know we expect a great experience, and they go all out of their way to make sure it's just as easy to set up, if not easier, than the major carriers. They also provide the same features such as visual voicemail and personal hotspot right out of the box. Mint Mobile makes it easier to cut your wireless bill down to $15 per month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/TIOS. That's mintmobile.com/TIOSS. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TIOS. All right. So with that out of the way, let's talk about iPhone SE 2.
It totally sounded like you said iPhone SE 2.
Oh, that's why you laughed. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't just me.
I thought you were laughing because iPhone SE 2 is like not a thing.
No, you really sounded like you said iPhone SE 2.
Well, this is a family show, so I would never say
not anymore.
Like that. Oh, it's because it's like after hours because we're canceled.
Right.
Yeah. So, according to our homeboy, Ming-Chi Kuo, Apple is planning to launch a lower priced, quote, iPhone SE 2 in the first quarter of 2020. Kuo believes this will be similar in design to the iPhone 8.
So it's not an SE.
Right. Yeah. So it's not.
They're not going to call it SE.
Right. They're going to call it, I don't know, iPhone whatever. iPhone
light.
Poop emoji. And then it's going to have an A13 chip and 3 gigs of RAM and Touch ID and a single lens rear camera. And people who wanted an iPhone SE will be disappointed and probably give up all hope of that ever happening again, as you should, as you really should at this point.
Yeah. It's going to be a more affordable iPhone.
That, you know, I'm into that. It's just,
it's,
you know,
good. Yeah. They'll sell a lot.
I can afford an iPhone 11. I just don't want to pay so much money for a frickin' phone. You know,
You're not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people that are in that camp. So I think even if the form factor stays the same as the 8, you know, it's really a big marketing move more than anything else, right? They can make an affordable phone, continue to use the same design that they already have. So costs and manufacturing is going to be minimized and it'll be a high profit margin and they'll sell a lot.
All right. I totally love this idea. And at the same time, I'm thinking, why would Apple do this when they're still selling iPhone 8?
Well, that would go away, I would imagine. This would replace iPhone 8, I would assume.
Yeah. So Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So manufacturing costs on iPhone 8 are probably, relatively speaking, pretty low at this point.
Right.
Because they've already recouped the expense of designing the phone. And so if they're going to make a new SE, even though we know it won't be called that,
but they're
now
not.
They're boosting up their cost again.
No, because they're going to take an iPhone 8 and they're going to put an A13 in it and call it a new phone. That's what we're talking about here, essentially.
Yeah, I know. It's
And I think the camera will change too. Does the iPhone, I don't remember, does 8 only have a single lens?
Yes.
So yes. You put a dual lens camera in.
They're not going to.
Oh, they're going to stick with a single lens?
Kuo is specific about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so even better. So it's just an upgraded 8. And they're going to call it something else.
Yeah, I mean, just in the same way that they upgraded the 6S, I think, at that point.
Right.
They just updated it, and then they called it SE.
Okay, yeah. So leave everything the same except a newer processor and maybe a newer camera sensor.
Yeah, some new features. I mean, it'll just be like – it'll be the entry-level iPhone. So it actually makes the lineup perfect. You have – everything with the same processor, right, across the line, and then you have price points from affordable all the way to oh my God, I've got to get a new mortgage.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, that's more believable. For some reason, in my mind, I was thinking it's a completely redesigned phone, but it's supposed to be cheap.
No.
And I'm thinking that is not Apple. So this is much more plausible. The only thing I'm having a problem with is our source right now is Ming-Chi Kuo, and he has a very mixed track record. But this is a totally plausible idea.
Jeff always dissing Ming.
I know. What's the deal, man? You guys have a beef going? Every time you meet up at Macworld? Yeah.
No, he just doesn't have the perfect track record that a lot of people are attributing to him. He's accurate in the same way that weather people are.
Hmm.
I gauge the sources of rumors, the quality of the source of the rumor, on how cool their name is. So
that in that case,
Ming-Chi is good. Guillerme Rambo, awesome.
That's true.
Sonny Dixon, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Steve Trotten Smith.
That one's pretty good.
That's good, you see? Yeah.
You know what? I'm kind of liking this idea.
I think you're right about that one.
I think I'm going to follow your lead, Adam. And every rumor I hear now, I will use the cool name credibility scale.
Exactly.
Yeah. How accurately can Siri pronounce their name? If it's almost impossible
at it, really high chance that's a good rumor.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So as far as pricing, I guess that's the only thing to really consider here. iPhone 8 is currently a $449 phone. I would imagine it's not going to go any cheaper.
No, it'd stay right around that price point.
I would guess they're going to keep it right at $449. The iPhone SE was introduced at $399.
If they could do $399, they probably could do $399, and that actually might be the right move at this point.
Yeah, I think it would be. The iPhone 8 at $449 is a 64 gigabyte phone. But I can see them for 64 gigabytes.
32.
I don't think they're going to go back to 32. I don't think they're going to go back to 32, but they might.
I would drive down to Cupertino and slap somebody in the face with that phone.
You'd buy it just to slap Tim Cook in the face with it. You'd like take off the plastic and then smack.
Yeah.
Okay. So that'll we're looking forward to that in the first quarter of 2020. So you know after the holiday buying season, I'm sure. Next story: Apple is they're hoping to bundle their services. Like Apple Music and Apple TV and into one super ultra mega bundle.
Prime.
Yeah, Apple Prime. Yeah, exactly. So this is according to the Financial Times. They're currently in early discussion with record labels about this, and they're pursuing this this media bundle content, I think primarily with Apple TV Plus, Apple Music as their two big draws for this content.
It needs to be all encompassing.
But I think the idea of, you know, maybe Apple TV Plus, Music, Arcade, and I guess news for why not,
and iCloud.
You think like an extra 5 gigs of storage or whatever, maybe for like $24.99 kind of deal. So I think the idea is you have to undercut all this stuff that, priced out separately.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. The question is by how much? Is it by $5? Is it by $10?
Probably only going to be $5. We're talking about Apple here. They're right, like,
exactly. You know, okay, $5 is a price point that I think Apple has backed themselves into a corner with.
No, we're talking about $5 less, right? So if you priced all the services out, the bundled price would be $5 under.
Oh, total, I see what you're saying.
Total amount.
See, this is what I get for playing with stuff on my Apple Watch while I'm like halfway listening to the show. Oh my God, I've become a listener to our own show.
I've never done that. I am always very attentive to this show. So shame on you, Jeff.
I know. I am a horrible, horrible person.
Just sitting here looking at Catalina Island.
And I'm looking at pictures of cats. So the idea is that some of the labels are open to the idea, but at least one big label has said that the industry is growing more weary about its relationship with Apple, and there's concern over lost revenue from this bundle.
That's such BS,
though. I think it is such BS. And when you look at Spotify.
Exactly. Like, I don't think Apple's the problem in the music industry in terms of revenue.
Right. Yeah, this only, like, they only stand to gain, I think, here. Because Spotify can't offer this kind of content, period. I believe you can get
Spotify doesn't have the deep pockets Apple has.
Right. Yeah, and I think that, I mean, you can get Hulu with your Spotify, but that's all you get. I mean, granted, Hulu's great, and some would argue is more useful than an arcade plus an Apple TV Plus bundle, but TV Plus is probably only going to get better, and arcade is something that you can secretly play at work while your boss isn't looking.
And arcade and TV go well together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it'll probably be, I mean, I would imagine the bundle that they do is music, TV, and arcade makes the most sense if you're just going to focus on a couple services and not have an all-encompassing thing. I would really like to see, especially since everything is a family plan, that there's just an all-encompassing bundle, everything included for a single price. I don't know what that price should be.
Yeah, I think they're probably just going to undercut by $5.
But, well, again, if they include iCloud storage. It's time for Apple just to include iCloud storage almost for free. Like, there should be like a free tier that's decent.
Like, a decent free tier would be
50
nice.
50 gigabytes or something like that.
I forget what I'm on. I think I'm on 20 gigs.
$5 a month if you want the 2 terabyte or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe next year.
Maybe.
I mean, since all the other services are relying so much more on the cloud and, you know, that sort of thing, it's just, it frustrates me sometimes because they're like, we were like I mentioned earlier, there's some areas where with like bringing messages, I can't remember, we might've done this on the break, but bringing messages to Android, right? Apple could lock up messaging, just totally lock it up as a service. They could do the same thing with iCloud storage. And it would drive a lot of the adoption of their other service offerings. And it would also take away from the complaints that they get about entry-level devices that don't have enough built-in storage.
Right.
Right. They could solve a lot of issues and I think really drive their services. And if services is the future, which it seems like that's the plan for right now, it wouldn't be a bad idea for them to just go, look, you know, you have to pay all this money for Dropbox or Box or, you know, Microsoft, I think, gives a pretty generous amount of storage from what I remember. So I don't want to call them out because I don't remember off the top of my head what they're offering. But, I mean, it just seems like such a low cost to Apple versus a high gain in terms of marketing, in terms of consumer goodwill, and in terms of just a lot of things. So I'm surprised they haven't rejiggered that. The flip side of it is they must just be making a crud ton of money off of it and don't want to disrupt that. That's the only reason I can think why they wouldn't change it.
Yeah, I've got nothing. I was trying to come up with another valid reason, and that has to be it. They're just enjoying the money it's raking in.
Yeah. Because I can't imagine at this point it's costing them a lot at the bottom line. Because you're talking about storage and servers, which, yes, I mean, for most companies, that's a big deal. But for a company like Apple, they have the infrastructure. They keep growing the infrastructure. They're already having to put data centers in place. Just adding storage to those places that they already have. The high cost is, getting those built out, right? That's where most of the money comes in. But once they're in place, throwing, bigger hard drives and more storage in there is relatively inexpensive.
Yeah. Give us the storage, Apple.
Yeah.
Give us the storage.
Stop being so stingy.
Yeah.
Like, at least bump up the 5 gig free tier. Come on.
Yeah. Give us 10.
Like, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Okay. So, one more thing, and then we're going to move on to picks and enjoy our Saturday. So, the big thing is Apple, they don't often, as we've been lamenting, they like their money and they don't often put things on sale. However, oddly enough, they have put the Power Beats Pro totally wireless headphones on sale officially everywhere for $50 off. On their website, Best Buy, Amazon, everywhere. So now they're $200. And so I decided to actually go out and get them, as I think I mentioned earlier. Not bad. Pretty good headphones, especially with the $50 off. I forgot about the whole potential AirPods, the new AirPods coming out, so I might return them. But these are great for people who do a lot of working out and exercising, because they've got the ear hooks. Adjustable ear hooks, and in addition to being in earbuds, and the quality of them is great because it has the H1 chip, and they're the same price as the AirPods with wireless charging case. So that's pretty nice.
There you go.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, with that, let's move on to picks. What do you guys got? Adam, go first.
Well, okay. So I need to find out if this is valid. Are we allowed now to pick Apple Arcade games? Because isn't that then just really a pick for Apple Arcade?
Well, I think you did it last week, right?
Did I? Did I pick an Apple Arcade game?
I'm going to go with it's okay because and
yes, pick an Apple Arcade game.
A rough logic train here. When you pick an app from the App Store, You're not picking the App Store as your pick.
Right.
So,
okay.
There we go.
So I'm trying to find the name of the game because every once in a while I just want a game that's kind of like chill. I'm just has some time to kill and I don't want to overthink it. There is a game.
Doge 2048.
Yes. No, it's called Patterned. And it's basically like a puzzle style game. What you're presented with is just a repeating pattern texture. And the developer hired a bunch of artists to create these, and they're adding more all the time. And they're various different artists. They have them in different categories. So it's kind of, it kind of feels like almost in the genre of like the coloring apps, like the adult, really detailed coloring kind of apps. Yeah. And what you're doing is, in this case, rather than coloring, you're pulling out little tiled pieces. So it's also very reminiscent of, remember back in the old days, oh man, I'm going to call it the control panel, right? It used to have a puzzle.
Oh, dashboard?
God, I forgot about that.
No, it was even before dashboard.
Yeah.
Like back on Mac OS 9 days or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it's just a little simple. It's not like puzzle pieces. They look like little Tetris pieces. And you have to pull them. You just basically drag them out from a sidebar. And then what you're presented is you see the colored image. It fades to just a simple like line drawing. And you have to figure out where the different pieces fit into the pattern. You basically try and complete it. And then once you've completed it, it sort of unlocks that pattern. And that's really all it is. It's not fast paced. It's not really puzzly. I mean, the puzzle's relatively simple. It can get a little bit tricky because you have to figure out the repeating. And so when you pull a piece out, it will show you sort of the active area. And you do have some area that's sort of outside. So sometimes it can be tricky because it'll look like a piece will go on one side when it really needs to be on the other side, because again, it's a repeating pattern. But other than that, it's just very straightforward. But it's one of those sort of, hey, I just want to chill. I don't want to think about stuff too much. I just want to, you know, spend some time relaxing. It's a very relaxing sort of Zen style game. And I've enjoyed it. I open it up every once in a while when I just want to relax. And it's well done and it's kind of fun. So it's called Patterned. It's in, if you have an Apple Arcade subscription, it's free. And what's cool too, again, because it's Apple Arcade, as they add new patterns, as you have access to the full library, it's, you know, and so a lot of those other freemium apps, it would be like, oh, we give you three puzzles. And if you want more, you got to pay 99 cents for each one. Right. This, you just get them all because it's Apple Arcade. So,
nice.
I don't know. I guess the overarching pick is Apple Arcade, like $5 a month. It's awesome. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right, Jeff, what's your pick?
I think my pick is the first Apple Watch only app that we've had so far.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Geneva, I know what you're going to pick.
Moon.
Oh, I thought you were going to pick something different.
Oh, well, now I want to know what you thought I was going to pick. In case I need to go get another app. But Geneva Moon, it shows you moon phases, excuse me, for anywhere in the world, any time of day. And it has a really nice interface for the, you know, the screen size. So that's well thought out. And it also includes a complication. And it's 99 cents. It's a pretty simple little thing. And it's just a cool little app. So the reason why I was lamenting the fact that I was playing with my Apple Watch instead of actually listening to the show was because I was looking at moon phases in different parts of the world.
Neat.
But anyhow, moon phase, 99 cents.
I like
so
it.
So I can mention my pick because it actually wasn't an Apple Watch only pick, and I think I picked it on a previous episode. It was the Dice app from 42. Why can't I remember the developer's name now? Peacock. The developer does Peacock. I can't remember the name of the company. Is it just called 42?
I don't remember.
Anyway. He did a simple Dice app and
TLA systems.
Yeah. You can have a, if you get the Dice app, there's an Apple Watch companion app and you can have a D20 on your Apple Watch.
Oh, okay. Well then I technically still have the first Apple Watch only.
Yes, exactly.
But yes, the Dice thing on the Apple Watch is very cool.
All right. So I've got one for you that I think is pretty fun. It's called,
it's not a $50,000 car.
No.
Okay, cool.
It is not. I can pick that for you if you want. No, it's,
didn't you?
No, I picked a damn app for any electric car.
Oh, there you go.
You can get a Nissan Leaf or whatever. You can even have your own like converted VW bus and the plug share still is good for you. But this pick is free. You don't need any kind of car for this. It's called Supercook. And It's really fun. So the idea is you have various things in your kitchen, various food items, ingredients.
You hope.
You hope, yes, if you're fortunate enough to have some food in your kitchen. And this, honestly, this might be really good for like college students, but I think it gets interesting depending on, no matter who you are. The idea is you just tell this app all the things you have in your fridge, your pantry, et cetera, spices, dairy, vegetables, fruits, et cetera. And then it will tell you what sort of stuff you can make with it.
Nice.
I need this.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you can the interface for getting stuff into it is actually very well executed. I played with a few of these actually.
Does it have a barcode scanner? Please say yes.
It does not. It has one better. It's better. Oh. It has a dictation mode. So you just hit the little microphone and then you open your pantry and you say, I have, you know, butter and bell peppers and coffee and Parmesan cheese. And
can you chain it together like that?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
And then when you hit done, and it shows you a list of all the things that you just said, and then you say, okay, cool. And then, so you just kind of add and subtract stuff from your pantry. And then you go to the next thingy, the next step in the list into menu, as in like restaurant menu or what have you. And then it gives you like featured recipes. It says like I said, I have ham. It says using your ham, you can make these things, or using 10 ingredients or less, or using your chicken breast, or, you know, things that are gluten free, or using your onion, what have you. And then it'll also say, it'll suggest like, oh, do you have like vanilla, or do you have butter or soy milk? Because it sees that there's a lot of things that you could make if only you had this one extra thing. Maybe you forgot it, or maybe you're willing to go to the store and get this one thing, and then you can make so many other cool things. So like right now with what I have, I can make 496 different things with my 29 ingredients. You can also search by, you know, say key ingredient. You know, maybe you want to make something with your almonds or your rolled oats or your chicken breast, and then it'll give you stuff that includes that. And then you can say, you know, meal type. Maybe you want to make an appetizer, or maybe you want a dessert, and it suggests stuff that way. So you can find what you can make real fast. And a lot of the stuff is very interesting. Like I realized that a lot of really fun Indian cuisine is like very yogurt heavy, or yogurt. It requires yogurt and maybe just a few other random things. And so you can make a lot of really fun stuff with just yogurt and a couple other things. I love it. I haven't made anything with it yet, but it's given me a lot of really great ideas for stuff. And it's one of those things where maybe you went to the store and you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna start eating a lot more yogurt now. And then you get the yogurt and then you just haven't touched it because it's not part of your regular thing. And you're like, oh crap, this stuff is going to expire soon. I got to make something with the yogurt. And then you can, you know, figure out what kind of cool stuff you can make with your yogurt and all the stuff that you already have. So it's called Supercook. It's free. Just go get it. It's fun. I think there are a couple other apps. This isn't really a super new idea. I think there are a lot of websites that do this, and I think that there are a number of other apps that do this, but I played with, you know, some of the top apps on the store that provide this feature, and this is the one that had the most straightforward, this is the kind of thing that you want to do. You want to be able to quickly put all this stuff in there and then just say, show me what you can make. And it really does some kind of scraping of a bunch of different food websites. So food.com and All Recipes and all those kind of places. And it kind of just does the search based on those ingredients. And then it'll forward you to those websites too. You can also do like, you know, low calorie or vegan. There's a lot. I love apps that give you lots of knobs to turn. And this thing like gives you the power to find exactly what you're looking for. So check it out.
Okay. So
this is Supercook grocery to recipe.
Yeah, the one with the spoon and the cape.
Yeah, the spoon and the cape.
Okay.
So that was question one.
Mm-hmm.
Question two, why is it free and what are they doing with my data?
Those are great questions. I'm not entirely sure. It's a head scratcher for sure. Cause it's like, why would anybody want to sell?
I would pay for this. I guess my point is like, why is it free?
I'm with you on that. I'm not sure. And it doesn't seem like there's a way to get anything.
Cause it doesn't even have in-app purchase, which is great. I mean, I'm all for it, but.
Right. Yeah.
That's when my spidey sense starts to tingle and I go, okay, wait a minute.
Who wants to know what's in my pantry and why?
A lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazon wants to know.
Especially,
So who is AMR Systems?
Are we going to do something?
I don't know. I don't think we should question it too much. Just use it.
Just use it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just be glad.
Yeah. So check it out. It's good
awesome.
Times.
We'll try it out.
Yeah. Okay. And so with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiowashow.com. Review the show on iTunes, tell a friend, leave some stars. Feedback at theiowashow.com is the address to which you can send your questions, comments, and feedback. Our sponsors this week are Mint Mobile at mintmobile.com/Tios and SimpliSafe at simplisafe.com/Tios. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, and at Mattcast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Jeff Gamet, he's at smilesoftware.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome. I have so much fun with you guys.
Yeah. And I'm at Michael Johnson on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?